Hello, and welcome back to the Language of God. My name is Stephan de la Cruz, and I am the Friend of God. Today I begin the Friend of God relationship teaching. This is the third relationship found in Scriptures, the Friend of God. To this point, I have taught on the King-Servant relationship and the Father-Child relationship. And now we are here, stepping into a new relationship called the Friend of God. A very different relationship from the ones you have known. We move from the servant of God relationship. We move from the child of God relationship to this relationship called the Friend of God. Now, in the culture of God, there are four relationships found in Scripture. The master-servant, also known as the king-servant relationship. The father-child relationship, the friend of God relationship, the bridegroom and the bride of Christ relationship. In this podcast, The Culture of God 101, I teach how these four relationships apply to us from the language of God. Now, to understand God, we must learn God's culture. As we learn God's culture, we learn God's language, which gives us the ability to speak the language of God. As I have shared with you in past podcasts, my definition of the word language is this. Language is more than just verbal communication. It's more than just words or sounds. It is the very culture of that people that make up their language. There are different languages that don't use verbal communication. One that comes to mind is body language. And we are all familiar with body language. There is a language of love. How about sign language? These languages don't use words, but they communicate. So there is more to language than just verbal communication. In my definition, it is also the culture of that people. What about the culture of God? Have you ever thought of God's culture? What it might look like? What it might sound like? In this series, I teach and share with you what the culture of God looks like and how you fit in. Because we are talking about God, this is a very deep subject. How can anyone know God's culture? How can anyone know what it looks like? How can anybody talk about it? Especially when the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. Now, how can we learn God's language if we have never heard it, or seen His culture, or even imagined any of this? Well, if we finish the rest of that scripture, we read, verse 10. But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. For His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. So the question is this. Do you have God's Spirit? You might ask me, why would I need God's Spirit? Well, as the scripture says here in 1 Corinthians, to learn the secrets of God, to know God's thoughts, God's mind, to learn how to speak the language of God. And this language allows us to be immersed into His culture until it becomes our culture. We begin to understand why God says what He says and does what He does. And one of the benefits is this, to know your destiny in this life. Let's begin the Friend of God relationship. What and who is the Friend of God? Where did this relationship come from, and how do you become the Friend of God? If you go on the internet or Facebook or any search engine you'd like, and you type in friend of God, you will find a lot of people that call themselves the friend of God. And many of these people apply the human understanding of what it is to be a friend. But as you know, here at the Language of God, we look at this from the culture of God and God's language as He uses the word friend. It's much different than when the world uses the word friend. You hear me say at the start of each podcast that I am the friend of God. To some of you out there, this sounds very arrogant, very boastful, and even prideful, that I could be the friend of God. Remember in the father-child teaching that every relationship has its own unique etiquette. When the servant of God hears a child of God speak to their king and their master, the servant is upset at the dishonorable way the child of God speaks to the servant's king. But as we have learned, the reason for this is that the servant of God does not have the same relationship as a child of God. You can find this in John chapter 8, verse 35, and also in Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. The child of God has a more intimate relationship than the servant of God, which a servant of God does not understand, nor could they understand. Now imagine for a moment, if you can, the servant of God hears the friend of God speak to their king. What do you imagine that servant of God will think of the friend's relationship with God and the way that friend talks to God? Now imagine the child of God hears the friend of God speak to their father. What do you imagine that child of God will think of that friend of God and the way that friend speaks to their father? That child would never dare to speak to their father in such a way. In both of these relationships, the servant of God and the child of God, the relationships are unique to the etiquette and the intimacy of that relationship. They can't think or imagine beyond the boundaries of the relationship they are in with God. The friend of God has a deeper relationship than the servant of God, a deeper relationship than the child of God. The relationship of the friend of God has a different etiquette and a different intimacy. If you visit my website, thelanguageofgod.net, go to the top and click on About the Language of God, where I share with you how all this came about back in 1996, one summer afternoon. After I was shown the language of God, the Holy Spirit began to deal with me. That same summer, the Holy Spirit began to teach me what the friend of God is. So I was called upon by the Holy Spirit to begin to call myself the friend of God. Now today, that doesn't sound so bad or difficult. But back then, the body of Christ, the churches, the leaders were caught up with being a servant of God. There was no other relationship greater than the servant of God, not even the child of God. In fact, back then they thought and believed that a child of God was just that, a child or an infant that needed to be cared for. Where the servant of God was an adult that stood in battle with their king, a noble status to be admired and desired. Humility, meekness, is what you were to aspire to as a servant of God. Every action, every deed that was done became a servant's heart. And if you gave a glass of water to someone, you were serving that person. If you opened a door, you were serving that person. Every action became serving. Nothing else existed. Well, it was in this environment the Holy Spirit required of me that I was to begin calling myself the friend of God. And I did what any person in my place would have done. I pushed back. I questioned every thought and every feeling. And I thought to myself, well, maybe this wasn't God. because no one else was getting up and calling themselves the friend of God. In fact, my pastor and all the senior pastors were calling themselves servants of God. I thought to myself, well, maybe I was just looking for attention, or maybe I misunderstood what was said. And I began to argue with the Holy Spirit. And it went a little like this. You do understand what is going to happen to me if I start calling myself the friend of God, right? You know what's going to happen, right? They're not going to come after you. And if I tell them you told me to do this, they're going to say, yeah, right, you, Stephen, you're the friend of God? I don't think so. Well, I attempted to dissuade the Holy Spirit for the next few weeks. But the answer was always the same. Each time, the Holy Spirit replied, you will call yourself the friend of God. Well, I thought to myself, if I could just call myself one of the friends of God, it wouldn't be so bad. But nope, it wasn't going to happen. The Holy Spirit had other plans. You know the old saying, you have your plans for your life, and then God has His plans for your life? Well, that's where I was. And I had to make a decision. Whose plans was I going to follow? Now, don't get me wrong. The servant of God is a great and wonderful relationship. In fact, like most of the people of that time, I desired to be the greatest servant of God. I wanted to hear God say to me one day, well done, good and faithful servant. And by the way, the servant of God, that relationship is where we all begin to know God. If you haven't done it yet, listen to my podcast on the King-Servant relationship. It's an eye-opener. Now, at the church I was going to at that time, the pastor was deep into servanthood, as most churches were back in those days. So I also followed as a good servant of God, doing all that I was shown and told would make me a good servant. Our pastor, who was a great man of God, loved his people. During this time, the Promise Keepers movement had begun. This was a Christian men's movement, teaching men to be a promise keeper like God. It was very big back in those days. One of the speakers from the Promise Keepers event that year came to our church to teach the men how to be a great servant of God. It was a big event for our church, and our church sat 2,000 people. In fact, when that minister came, the place was full. The minister got up on the pulpit and with great excitement proclaimed that he was a worm. That's right, you heard me. At the top of his lungs, he claimed that he was a worm. Then he began to praise God for being a worm. Yeah, I know how this sounds. I was there, almost in the front seat. I was like third or fourth row back. This minister was quoting from Psalms chapter 22, verse 6. But I am a worm, not a man, scorned and despised by my own people and by all mankind. This is a psalm of King David. David was humbling himself before God in this song. And yes, King David called himself a worm. This minister took that one verse and started a movement where men began to call themselves worms. This was to teach us meekness and humility, to be a great servant of God by humbling ourselves, by being meek and calling ourselves worms. They even had t-shirts and hats, which they would wear proudly. Okay, I said this before, but I need to say it again. So it was during this time when all this was going on about being a servant of God that the Holy Spirit put into my heart to begin calling myself the friend of God. Yeah, you heard me right. In the midst of all these servants and this great movement, here I am calling myself the friend of God. Can you imagine what happened to me next? Or do I need to explain? Well, it didn't take long for me to be removed from being a servant of God in my church. The men of the church no longer sought me out to come and help them with events, or to be a part of activities, or even as a friend. I was not asked to help any longer. In fact, I was told that I could come back, but not until I found some humility. One of the pastors told me that I should be careful about speaking like that, calling myself the friend of God. It would not be good. It's very prideful to make such statements. Well, back at home, as I thought to myself on this statement from one of my pastors, that I should be careful speaking like that, I remembered that there at the church, that all these men were wearing their t-shirts and their hats with a worm on it, and they were very proud to wear a worm and to humble themselves and to be meek. But it was strange because they were very proud doing this. So I kind of questioned myself, okay, so how can you do that and be proud, but you're humbling yourself? I remembered that every one of these men were very proud of wearing their t-shirt with a worm on it and calling themselves worms. They were proud, but I was the one that was considered to be the proud one because I called myself the friend of God. So I was pushed out. As I said, the people and men of that church that I once knew as friends did not want to get close to me because I dared call myself the friend of God. You see, there was a time that calling yourself the friend of God was a very hard thing to do. Today, just about every person in church and some out of the church call themselves the friend of God. Today it's easy. Books and songs are written about being the friend of God. But being the friend of God is not an easy relationship. It's not for the weak or the faint of heart. The friend of God is not for a servant. It's not for a child. I ask you that are listening, are you the friend of God? Here's an update. I'm working to have more content available. Please be patient. When you get a chance, check out my website at thelanguageofgod.net. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share it with one person this week. If you have any comments, you can connect with me at my Facebook or by email. You can also join my T-Law group at my Facebook page. You can find this information at my website, thelanguageofgod.net. When contacting me, please include the show title you are commenting on. Go and enjoy life. I encourage you to live. Break free of the things holding you back and live. Shake off the chains that hold you down. Rise up, dust yourself off, and get back into the race. If you thirst for life, come and drink from the river of life and live again. I invite you to drink from the river of life and live again. Have a great day, and remember, you are not alone.